Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
To encourage all of you, set your heart that in this camp, you will soak into the presence of God. You will be touched by the presence of God. You will move to the next level. You know, I have observed so many people that they jump into the rivers of God. They jump into the glory of God. And as time go by, I can see that they move from glory to glory. They grow more. Their faith grow. You know, sickness and disease leave them. Their finances get better. You know, I can see that. One of the examples in the church is Sister Nui. Sister Nui came back to church a couple years ago. She really struggled financially. Couldn't find a job, everything. But she just never missed any laying on of hands. She always come to be prayed for. God's Spirit touch her, break the yoke in her life. Now she is not in poverty anymore. She graduated, got a good job as dental assistant. She's happy, you know. I tell you, if you welcome the presence of God, if you welcome the Ark of the Covenant into your life, you welcome everything that belongs to God. So I want to encourage all of you to really love the presence of God and love the anointing. Get as much as you can now. Get as much as you can while I am around. Because I don't know, in a few years, I may not be around anymore. I'm not talking that I'm going to go to heaven. But I may be traveling more. Amen? So, right now, I am here. Get as much as you can into God. Really give me that anointing of revival, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Every time I lay hand, don't run away. Get the chance to receive the impartation as much as you can, because you don't know when that day you're going to be by yourself, and you need to depend on that anointing. So always come in to receive, come in to be imparted by the presence of God, by the Spirit of God. And I can guarantee your life will never be the same. God has done the same thing to me, and He will do the same thing to you. Amen. Don't take it for granted. Don't think I have it, so I can wait for next day. He is around. I will wait for next day. No. Today, every time you have a chance, get into the things of God. Every time you have a chance, get into the Spirit of God. Amen. I really like to encourage you. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait until tomorrow. Get in. There is power of impartation. Amen. I see that with my own life. I see it with my own, my wife's life, my kids, everyone. The impartation of the Spirit really brings something to you. Little by little. It takes time. God will change you little by little. It doesn't happen overnight. God wants you to learn how to press in and learn how to depend on Him all the days of your life. Amen. Let's say at the same time, I will not take it for granted. I will honor the anointing of God in the church. Amen. Come like a child. Child like faith. A child depend on the Father. So you come to God like a child depend on the Father. Father, what else you want to bless me today? What else you want to anoint me? What else you want to grace me? What else you can give me? Father, I'm a child. You have so much in heaven. You are such a rich Father in heaven. You are the King of all kings. You have all the anointings in heaven that I can receive. A child always come to the dad and ask from the dad. Amen. The Bible says if the Father on earth does not give scorpion and stone to their kids, how much more the Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. You need to ask God. You need to press in. You need to come in and say, God, please touch me. Please impart into my life. Amen. Go deeper. The lost world is waiting for the anointing in your life. Your wife is waiting for the anointing in your life. My wife is waiting for the anointing in me. My kids waiting for the anointing in my life that I can impart to them when I touch them. Lay hand on them, grab their hand and pray for them. The anointing in your life. God gives you the anointing to help other people. Amen. Be hungry. Don't be content with where you are. God still have a lot of works to do in your life so that He can work through your life. You still have a lot of work to do. God tell me all the time, my people in this church still a long way to go. They don't even know. I want to work in them, but I cannot work in them unless they are willing to and they are yield to me. And they say, God, touch me and deal with me. Melt me, mold me, break me. I need to be broken. God, deal with me. Anything in my life that hinders your kingdom, come and burn it away. Don't keep them. He cannot do it. He's a gentleman. He won't do anything to you unless you say, yes, do it to me. Change me. Don't stay where you are. Move on to the next level. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm not speaking like this as a pastor. I'm speaking like this as a person who wants to bring revival to the church. Amen. I put another hat today. I'm not a hat of pastor, a hat of person who wants to bring revival to the church. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Tonight we'd like to learn about the favorite food of Jesus Christ. What is your favorite food? My favorite food lately, I find out that there are two. One is Japanese food. My favorite food. I love to eat Japanese food. And the second one, equal. My favorite food is Vietnamese food. I love pho. I love bún thịt nướng. I love all this Vietnamese food. And I keep asking Pasada to go and eat at Vietnamese food and Japanese food all the time. We all have favorite food. Not because I marry a woman who has Vietnamese background, but because I love that kind of food. All of us have favorite food. I'm talking about physical food. But today, we are not going to talk about physical food. We're going to talk about favorite food of Jesus Christ. And His favorite food should be our favorite food as well. Amen. Look at John chapter 4, verses 31 to 38. Meanwhile, His disciples urged Him, Rabbi, eat something. But He said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then His disciples said to each other, could someone have brought Him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wedges. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I send you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Let's say at the same time, follow my prayer. Father in heaven, my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. Your word is precious. I receive your word by faith. I believe the Bible. Say what I am who you want me to be. I can do what tell me what I can do. Your word is wonderful and powerful. Today, you will change my heart, change my mind, and my life. Your word is a medicine to my flesh. I am healed by your word. You send your word to heal me. And your word, your truth will set me free. I will never be the same. I will never be the same. in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You all need to eat food. And nowadays, in our society, we are so careful about diet. People talk about diets, talk about food a lot. What kind of food, what kind of vitamin, herbal vitamin, all these things. You know, there is a big book called Atkins Diet. I have one, that book too in my home. And then another Christian article come out. No, we don't believe in Atkins diet. We need to eat this way and this way. You know, all now this, you can read about diets everywhere. You know why people pay so much attention to this? Because we are living in the physical and we are caring about our physical well-being so much, which is okay. Then we need to care about our physical well-being to keep ourselves healthy and strong. But we tend to forget about our spiritual well-being. And Jesus tried to teach us the lesson in John chapter 4 here by using the circumstance at that time when Jesus was meeting with the Samaritan woman. She just witnessed to that Samaritan woman. You remember the story? And she came to get the water to drink. And he talked about the living water that will be like a fountain in her life, that she will go into eternal life. So after that, she got saved. She saw that Jesus was the Messiah, and she gave her life to Jesus. She went back to town and told the whole town about Jesus. And the whole town came to Jesus and they got saved too. What a blessing to see that kind of story. I hope that one day we can see the whole town of Seattle come to know Jesus. Because you go out and say, I met Jesus. I was blind, but now I can see. God is so good to me. Go and tell people like the Samaritan woman. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, at that time, the disciple went into town to look for food because it was at around noon. What happened at that time was around noon and around 1 or 2 p.m. Definitely. Everyone was hungry. All the 12 disciples went into the city. And they were looking and buying food. Amen. They may have gone to some Thai restaurant in town there and looking for Thai food. Or they may have gone into some Chinese restaurant buying some, what is good Chinese food around? Huh? Shao mein. Yes, I tried to find that word. Shao mein. Hallelujah. They want to buy shao mein. You know? Shao mein. Xie xie. Hallelujah. They want to get some good food. Hot. And they came back. And the Bible says, meanwhile, the disciple urged him, Rabbi, eat something. I believe the disciple must be very hungry, like you right now. Because some of you haven't eaten dinner yet. And you came here, and you might be hungry. And you say, Master, if you don't say grace, we cannot eat. We want to be courteous. So we want you to say grace first. And Jesus answered them like this. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Oh, these people like, what? You stay here, you didn't go to town, why you have food? They might have thought that Jesus sneaked out to somewhere to buy a special food from somewhere. They always, you notice one thing as human being, we always think everything's physical. We always focus on the physical thing. But Jesus always wants to teach us spiritual thing. He wants to teach us spiritual principle. Because spiritual thing affect our physical. If we focus only on the physical food, the physical blanket, the physical movie, the physical radio, the physical TV, all these things. If we just focus on that, we will miss a lot of blessings. We need to focus on the spiritual thing too in life. Jesus at that time said that, I have food that you don't know about. And they were so like shocked. What is going on here? And Jesus continued to say, They say like this in verse 33. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? You can see again, Jesus tried to talk about spiritual, the food, spiritual food. But the disciples come back and say, physical food. They emphasize physical food. If you read throughout the Bible, all the time people in the Bible always focus on the physical. You remember when Nicodemus met Jesus? Jesus said, you must be born again. What did Nicodemus say? Oh, how can I, am an old man, go into back into the womb of my mother? It's impossible. He was thinking about what? Physical birth. But Jesus did not talk about physical birth. He was talking about spiritual birth. Is that right? So every time Jesus talking something, he was talking about spiritual lesson, spiritual principle. But man always focused on physical. Amen? That's why people look for nice, beautiful church building, nice carpet, handsome pastor, very eloquent pastor. They don't look into the spiritual thing. But we, as spiritual people, we need to have spiritual eyes, look at spiritual things. We need to see things from perspective of God all the time. Everything you look around you, you always think in the spiritual way. Look at the principle of heaven instead of just focus on the physical thing alone. Amen? Can you do that? Can you train yourself to be spiritual? Think spiritually. Then Jesus answered, verse 34, my food, Jesus said, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Amen. Two plates here, two menus that Jesus loved to eat. Jesus said, these two food, two kind of food, make me full, make me fulfilled, make me happy, make me joyful. It's great. I enjoy doing this better than physical food. Today, this morning, when we had the meeting, the presence of God was so strong. I was drunk in the Holy Spirit. And I did not want to quit. It's better than to go to Chinese restaurant and eat food. It's so awesome. I don't want to quit. Sometimes I want to be in the presence of God all days, all night. Oh, can you imagine how many people get addicted to the presence of God? I don't know about you. I'm getting addicted to the presence of God. Is that right? I like that song, The River Is Here. In that song it say, I love to be in the presence all the time. We get addicted to the rivers of God. I cannot live my life without the presence of God. It's so wonderful when the presence of God come upon you. The same thing Jesus say, I cannot go on with my life without doing these two things, which is my spiritual food. And if this is your spiritual food, your Christian life will make sense. If you don't have this food for you, you will never make sense. Your Christian life will struggle, will never make sense. The first food I want to mention, to do the will of the Father. To do the will of the Father. It's amazing. At noontime, instead of, think about this. Why 12 disciples went into town? Why did they go into town? Not why didn't they just send two people to go some boxes from restaurant in town and come back? Why the whole crew get into that bus and go into town to go into the Bon Marché, the Marcy, and the Nordstrom. I believe that the whole crew went into town not because of only buy food. Believe me. If it's only to buy food for Jesus, only two people is enough. Save gas. Is that right? But the whole group went into town because they want to enjoy the town. Oh, look at that. Look at this. You know, they all want to have fun about town, the city. So this is human being. We all want to enjoy physical things. We want to enjoy the things of the eyes, the feeling of the flesh. You know, you may not be addicted to food, some of you, but you may like to enjoy something else. Your food may not be really food, but it may be TV. Your food may be massage. You need to go to massage every month. Oh, it feels good. Your food may be radio, maybe golfing, maybe skiing, hiking, whatever. And God say, it's nothing wrong to have those kind of activities. But if those things are your food alone, you are in trouble. You will never be fulfilled until you live your life for the will of the Father. Amen. I am not against Maui. I'm not against Oahu. I'm not against swimming in Waikiki Beach. I'm not against skiing. I'm not against golfing. I'm not against boating. But if those things consume you, if those things make you preoccupied all day, all night, think about those things. I'm not against watching the stars. But if those things consume you, you will be in trouble spiritually. Your food that will make you feel fulfilled is to do the will of the Father. Many years ago, I listened to a teaching from a psychologist. She came and taught our church. And she said that medical science have done research and found that if you live your life for other people, which means for God, your immune system will be stronger than normal. Do you notice that I don't have a lot of sleep all these years, but I rarely get sick? You notice that? You know why? I believe the secret is this. I and Pastor Da have been living our life for the will of God all these years. God's protection is upon us, that we don't get sick easily. Our immune system is strong, that the sickness and disease cannot come in. The devil cannot touch us, especially if we are in revival all the time. We are in the presence of God all the time. God kicked out all the sickness and disease from our life. Amen. Hallelujah. So we need to find the will of God. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said like this, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body. What will you wear? Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Jesus is not resisting eating food. Jesus is not resisting having a nice house, having nice clothes. But Jesus said, if those things are more important than the kingdom of God, you miss something. You need to live your life first for the kingdom. Kingdom of God comes first. Amen. Live your life for God's righteousness. The righteousness of God is Jesus. We live our life for Jesus and for His kingdom. And all these things shall be added unto you. You don't need to worry about what you're going to eat. You don't worry about your income. You don't have to worry about your money. Amen. There is one sister in our church. She lived her life. She started the church in LA many years ago. And then God called her to come up here. And she just served God, never missed care group. She really helped Pastor Da and I. She served the pastor. She really built the church. And at that time, because of certain reason, she got into debt $20,000. Could not pay off with her salary. She tried to pay off, cannot pay off because $20,000 is a lot for people. Is that right? With interest, 14%, 15%. But she said, I believe God will take care of me. I believe God will never forsake me or forget about me because I live my life seeking the kingdom of God first. Suddenly, out of the blue, the computer that record $20,000 debt was wiped out. The debt is suddenly gone supernaturally. This is a true story. She's sitting here in this room right now. The debt is supernaturally gone from the computer. She just applied to buy a condo in Federal Way. And they check again because in order to get the loan, you need to check. She is buying something and they check again, no debt. It's gone supernaturally. Amen. How many people want that? Suddenly the debt is gone. Hallelujah. Now you understand why every Sunday I pray for your debt? Because I believe in miracle. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray for your debt right now. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I command the debt to be paid off. I then command that no one in this church will be in debt. They will be free from financial bondage in Jesus' mighty name. We claim it. We speak it by faith because they live their life for the kingdom of God in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Your house pay off. Amen. Soon and very soon. Miss Susu, serve God. She just serve God all the time. Suddenly her dad called her, her mom called her. I pay off your condo. Hallelujah. One of these days, maybe your dad call you. I pay off your condo. Or maybe, you know, maybe Brenda call you. Pirate and Brenda call you. I pay off your condo. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Believe me. Believe the Bible. The Bible says if you live your life for the kingdom, He will take care of your life. All these things that you need will be added unto you. Therefore, our primary focus should be the kingdom. Our primary focus should be to live our life for the will of God. There is a general will of God. You know, if you read this scripture carefully, you will be, think about it carefully. I read one more time. My food, say Jesus, is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Do you not say, suddenly out of the word, say, finish His work? Jesus put the subject into this 4 months and more than the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the field. They are ripe for harvest. Another word, Jesus tried to tell them why I preach this sermon about evangelism. I come on now. If you have a stethoscope, you know stethoscope. Listen to the heart. Boop, 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 boop. Stethoscope of the doctor. If you put the stethoscope on the heart of Jesus right now, and you listen to His heart, He will say to you like this in His heart, save the lost world. Save the lost world. I love them. I'm concerned for them. They go to hell. They're tortured by the devil. They're tortured by sickness and disease. They are bombarded by demons. They are in curses and bondage. I want to save them. Go for me. I send you out to preach the gospel on my behalf. So that is the ultimate will of God. The ultimate will of God is to see as many as people to come into the kingdom of God. When I went back to Thailand last time in May, I was stunned for 3 days. I tell you the truth. I just shared today with some people in the church. I was stunned in the airplane. I was so quiet. And when I came back, I was performing surgery, washing my hand. And then my co-worker say, his name is Ken Wallace. He say, Dr. Lau, what happened to you? You're so quiet in the past 3 days. You look like you don't want to talk. You just have something in your mind. Are you okay? I have something in my mind. You know what? In the airplane, I was thinking this way. I tell you the truth. I open my heart to you right now. I have been serving in this church for more than 10 years. And I try, but local people don't respond to what I try to do. I'm really, really drawn to go back to Thailand. Because if I spend 5 years there, I can have maybe 5,000 people. But I'm here, maybe I have only 10 people more. I'm just kidding you then. You know why? Because I really care for the heart of Jesus. Jesus wants more people to come into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is in people. The more people accept Jesus Christ, the more kingdom will be expanded. I want my life before I die to see more people come into the kingdom. Amen. That's why I was quiet. God, what should I do? I love this church so much. I love John. I love Al. I love Victor and Masako. If I leave this church to go to Thailand, what's going to happen? I really think. But if I go there, people respond so much. People will be saved. People going to come in and get saved. People, demon come out. People respond to the revival through my hands. The work of hand, the work that God done to my hand over there. Should I stay here or should I go back and do more work for God over there? I was thinking, I was pondering, because I want to see more people come into the kingdom of God. Help me. Help me to see more people come in. Amen. My heart, every single day, I want to see more people. I want to see non-believing guests, unbelieving guests, unsaved guests come into the church every Sunday. Go out and invite people. Come in, let them hear the message of the gospel. Believe God. When you invite, don't have doubt that, oh, even they come in, Pastor Lau lay hand, people fall down, they will not like this church. You know, that is doubt. If you have doubt, you eat it. You eat the doubt you have. But if you have faith, if they come in, they're going to be saved. They're going to love the move of God. You go by faith. Amen. You have faith. Amen. That people are going to like our church. People are going to join to revival. Don't have doubt. Don't walk by doubt. Doubt is destroying the church. The devil tried to speak to you doubtful words. Have faith that when you invite people to come in, they will be saved. And if they don't join our church, it's okay. I know that our sister here brought a lot of people to the kingdom of God. Amen. But it's okay. They don't come to church. They may go to another church. They go back to their Spanish church, whatever. But they want to add into the kingdom more. More numbers into the kingdom. Maybe not number here, but numbers to the kingdom. They may go to another church. That's okay. But we want to see people saved. That is the will of God. Amen. The general will of God is the field that is ripe. He wants to harvest. He wants to see people come into the kingdom. It's not just having a social club here. It's about souls. Everyone say souls. It's about lost souls. We have a church here in Seattle for the lost soul in Seattle. Amen. I tell you the reason why I am so drawn to fly back to Thailand every 3 months on my own money. Because I see people get saved there. It's so good. When you walk in and people get saved, people get touched, people get set free, demons come out, people get healed. Oh, so good. I feel so good. It's my food to do the will of my Father, to see people saved, to see people get set free. I don't care to lose sleep over there. I don't care to have jet lag. I don't care to be tired on the airplane. Because I'm so glad to see people saved. Let's have the same heart here. That we want to see people saved. Amen. The will of God. Definitely there is a general will of God that is to expand the kingdom. More people come into the kingdom of God. But definitely there is also a specific will of God for you. God may have a specific will for you. Some of your specific will is to go to Taiwan and to preach the gospel over there. Some of you, the specific will of God for you is to go to Los Angeles and preach the gospel in Los Angeles. Some of you, specific will of God may be a youth pastor in the local church. Some of you, maybe specific will for you is to help Pastor Lau to edit all the lessons and make it good. Some of you, specific will to preach, to help the gospel to go out is like Jane, who helped me. Jane has a specific calling to help pastor to do the CD project for me. All this CD, the Bless Thailand, is done by Jane and by Mai and also by Khun San. They all work hard behind the scene to bless people in Thailand. Yeah. Yes. Amen. Sometimes I went home in the evening around 11 o'clock. I cannot stand still. I pull the lesson out and I start to record the lesson into Thai and into English. That's why I promised Mai that the lesson is going to be done by the end of this year. I want to get this project done so the new believer come in, going to hear the word of God and grow and become strong and they go out and preach the gospel again. Amen. My heart is burning with the kingdom of God. My heart is burning with the lost soul. All the time. Day and night. I'm not kidding. I'm not pretending. I'm not trying to just challenge you. It's real in my heart. It's burning. all the time. My heart burning for Japan all the time. I want to see revival in Japan. I went to Japan and I saw the people in Japan so depressed, so bound by the devil, by demons. A lot of suicide. People commit suicide. They need Jesus. They need the anointing. They need somebody to go in with the fire of God and burn those demons out of them. Amen. I thank God for Pastor Noom and Pastor Ann that stand up in Bangkok for God. I thank God for Pastor Mary May who stand up in Phoenix for God. And many of you are going to do the same thing today. Who knows, one day God may send out Victor and Masako to a certain city. Amen. God may send out Romero and Rosa. Mexico need revival. We'll be a good team. Because your daughters are, I believe, have the anointing of evangelists. We'll be a good team. Dad is a pastor and the daughter is an evangelist. Taiwan need revival. Yes. If I can speak Mandarin, I will go there. Santi Pao Yo Ni. Amen. We need somebody like that to stand there. You gave, if God can use a simple man like this, you think God can use you? He's so simple. He's not a speaker, actually. He come up to the stage and shaking. I don't know what to say. Amen. But the anointing make it work. Amen. Hallelujah. Every time you see people saved, you should be exciting, joyful. Hallelujah. Thank God another soul go to heaven. Amen. Every time I see people saved, I'm so glad, I'm so cheerful. It's good. Another soul go to heaven with us. Amen. But I tell you one thing, salvation doesn't stop only to have a ticket to go to heaven. Salvation go beyond. That's why I am in revival. I discovered that it's not enough just to see, get people saved and have name to record in the book of life. Salvation is a full package on earth here. It means also deliver them from demon. It means that they will be healed from sickness. They will be set free from poverty. They will be set free from broken relationship in their family. I have a couple that come to this church, old believers, 10 years, maybe Christian all of their life. They're even a leader of another church. You know what happened? They went to church all this year. Husband and wife never talk to one another. They never have good relationship and they are care group leader. One day God called them to join this church. They come in, I preach, they came out, I lay hand on them, Holy Spirit touched them, they came up, hugged each other, and now they told me in the past 2 months they talk to each other all the time, they love each other, hold hand and come out to hold hand together and pray for. Now the relationship is restored. Amen. That is gospel. That is the gospel. The gospel is not just believe in Jesus and say go to heaven. The gospel is more than that. Is full gospel. Relationship is restored. Sickness is gone. Demon is gone. Abundant life. Amen. Abundant life. I don't believe in anything less than that. I believe that our members must have abundant life. Amen. I don't accept anything less than that. Hallelujah. That's why we stay in revival. No matter how many people attack us and say bad things about us. Because I love my member enough that I'm willing to get myself on the, what do you call? Put yourself, thank you. Put yourself on the chopping board and people will chop me by their mouth. Because you know what? I don't care if people chop me. I want you to have abundant life. And the abundant life will come only by the anointing of God and the word of God. Amen. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus loved you. Amen. Jesus loved all of you. He wants you to be set free. He wants to heal you. He wants to bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why we have the greatest message to tell the world. We have the best power to tell the world. We have the best power, the anointing, to go out and save the lost world. You don't go by yourself. You go with Jesus. You go with the Holy Ghost. I did not go to Thailand by myself. I went with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to Phoenix in December. I'm going to go there. I'm not afraid of witchcraft over there. Because my Holy Ghost is bigger than the witchcraft. Amen. Let's say it at the same time. I'm going
with the Holy Ghost.
Who raised Jesus from the dead.
The one who is in me.
It's greater than the one who is in the world. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know about you. I preach to myself right now. I enjoy it. I enjoy myself. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You need to believe that the Holy Ghost is inside of you. And you go. And do the will of God. God, whatever God calls you to do, I can guarantee. 100%. Whatever God calls you to do, He's going to give you the grace, the anointing to do it. Don't worry. If He calls you to be a youth pastor, if He calls you to be a singer, He calls you to be worship leader, He will give you grace to do it. He will not leave you nor forsake you. He will be with you. And He will help you to do it. Amen. But the Bible says like this in John chapter 20 verse 21. Again Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Amen. You are sending, being sent out by Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. As the Father sent him, he sent you. Are you ready to go?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I make a decision with elders that we are not going to build a big church here. If the church is full, we're going to go to start another center up north, Sammamish, Renton. We're going to send people out of this church to start another church. Amen. Because Jesus says, send them out. We are not going to keep the people here to be a big church. We're going to send them out. Bangkok could do the same thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He said like that in John chapter 6 verse 38. I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. John chapter 8, 28. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Are you doing this? Are you sent by God? If you sent by God, you need to please him. You do his will and he will be with you. He will not leave you alone. You are not an orphan. You will have the Father with you. The Holy Ghost. Amen. You don't need to be alone. If you go witness in the Thai restaurant, Jesus is with you there. His Spirit. Amen. You don't need to worry about it. You just do His will. Please Him. My dear brother and sister, we have only one life to live. Let's live our life to see more. As many souls as we can before we die, saved. Let's set our goal together. Amen. That before we die, we will see millions of souls saved in our churches here. Amen. I don't mind they go to other church. I just want to see souls saved. Because I'm not building my own kingdom. We are not building our own empire. We build the kingdom of God. They could go any church. As they are called to do. Amen. Because we love other churches. We are not enemies. We are friends. Amen. As long as they save, they go, whatever God sent them. But we're going to want to see souls saved. The goal is not about building our own empire. But the goal is to see souls saved and join Jesus. Join His house. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And number two, the second kind of food to finish His work. Are you okay? Can I continue only 9 o'clock? Hasn't been midnight yet. Hallelujah. Number two, to finish his work. Hallelujah. So Jesus did not only do the will, but he wanted to finish. You remember on the cross, what did he say? On the cross, the last word he said, it is finished. He finished the work. He didn't just do half-heartedly. He didn't do halfway and stop. My dear brother and sister, you're going to see me preach lay hand on people until I become 99 years old. Even I walk like this, like an old man, but I can still see fire, 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 fire. I will finish my work. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to see Thailand shaken by the fire of God. I want to see Japan shaken by the fire of God. One day we're going to go to Mexico. Amen. By the fire of God. There are so many good teachers out there. Good teachers in the body of Christ. Thank God for good teachers. But we don't want just good teachers. We want the fire. Because Paul say like this, my preaching and my speech is not only persuasive words of human wisdom, but by the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith will not rest on the wisdom of man, but by on the power of God. So signs and wonders must follow the word of God. That's why I go 100% with revival. I expect one day everyone who walk into this house will be set free, will be healed. Every single one. No sickness around here. I pray that anointing shall be strong to the point that no sickness can pass through that door. When the anointing so strong, but then they pass the door, the sickness drop off. Yes. Fall off. Just fall off because anointing so strong. That should be our goal, pastors. That whoever walk through your church, when they walk through the door, whoop, what happened? Something dropped out of me. My back pain is gone. My neck pain is gone. Hallelujah. That's my goal. Anointing must be so strong that bondage, demon cannot come into this room. Have to run away right away. People just walk in, demon come out, boop, boop, it's gone. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's press in together. Finish the work of God. Amen. Now, why, how can we finish? We need to have four attitudes so that we can finish. Look at verse 35. Do you not save 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the field. They are ripe for harvest. So Jesus said, 4 months and then the harvest. What does it mean? Hey, you have to hurry up. If you don't prepare, you don't hurry up, the harvest time will be gone. Therefore, to do the work of God must be urgent. Must be done as soon as possible. Amen. You don't procrastinate. Do it. If God calls you to do something, if God calls you to help the children program, do it. Get involved. Don't procrastinate. Amen. If God tells you to open a care group somewhere, come to tell the pastor, get group people, do it. Don't procrastinate. It's urgent. Help people to come to know God is urgent. You know why? Because people, we don't know when they're going to leave tomorrow or not. No one knows that people, they will leave tomorrow. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus said, look at the field. Young guys in this room, don't just look at the beautiful girls. Look at the field. Amen? Amen. The field is ripe. Ready for harvest. Jesus said, look at the souls out there. I don't know if you feel this way. Every time I go to some restaurant, I sit there. I don't have energy to look at the menu. I say, can somebody else choose food too? I don't care what food to eat. I just look around, people sit in the restaurant and say, God, can I stand up and preach here? Can I just go to them and tell them the gospel? You know, I really see the lost soul and really burn in my heart. Burden. I want to see them saved. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Every time I watch Benny Hinn crusade and see people walk out to be saved, I cry and cry. My tears just come out. I saw in Nagoya. Is that Nagoya? People walk out to accept Christ in Japan by Benny Hinn. I was crying, God, this is good. This is awesome that people get saved like that. It's wonderful. It's urgent. We need to hurry up, help each other as soon as possible. Amen. Your real long vacation is in heaven. You may have a little bit of vacation around here, but don't rest too much. Don't have too long vacation on earth. Your real vacation is in heaven. Do the work now. Work hard. Get the job done. Amen. Build the kingdom of God. Don't waste your time. Every minute counts. Every day counts. Amen. Hurry up. Run the race. You run the race to the finish line. It's urgent. People are going to hell every single day. The sooner, I tell you, the sooner people get set free from demon, set free from bondage, the better for them to be productive in their life. In fact, a few days ago, I was talking to God. I'm so jealous. Holy jealousy. Holy, okay? Holy jealousy to the new believer in Bangkok. Like me, they don't have any old thinking, their old way of religious thinking in the church. They come in, get touched by God, boom, 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 listen to the CD. Now they're on fire, they just move on. They don't waste time anymore. They just go on right away. Don't have any religious thinking in the church, because that church starts from like that. There's no religious thinking. Just go on with the revival, go on with the Holy Ghost. That's why they grow so fast. Sometimes I think, wow, I waste so many years because I was in bondage so many years with a lot of wrong religious thinking that I was taught when I was younger in the Lord. I want to be set free as soon as possible. I want to think the way God thinks. It's urgent. Hurry up. That's why I want you, your guy, to really grow very fast, lay hand on you, get, you know, produce all this CD. The reason I produce all of these things because I want you to grow fast. The more you listen, the more you're going to grow. Is that right? Pastor Newman, Pastor Ann, out of the blue, call me up and say, we want to start the church with you. And I discovered that, find out that, in the past 10 years, they listened to every single sermon from Seattle. Many times to the point that the tape is broken. They even know what is the next sentence I'm going to say in that sermon. This is how much they listen to the sermon. They are so hungry for the word of God. God will use these kind of people. That urgent. I want to grow very fast. I'm hungry. I'm pressing in. I want to learn more. Amen. Actually, I told them that don't have to come to Seattle for the camp because you spend a lot of money. Just stay there. I go there anyway in August and maybe in November again. I already got the ticket for August. And they still come. I said, why come? You know, I'm going to go there. No, I want more. I want more anointing. It's urgent. Thailand needs anointing. Look at the heart. Do you know? Oh, I pray that all the Christians in the world will be like this. On fire. Hungry for God. Urgent. We need to preach the gospel as soon as possible. We need to get more anointing as soon as possible. So go out and save the lost world together. Amen. Number two, the second attitude, not only urgency. Number two, in verse 36, even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Everyone say, draw his wages.
Draw his wages.
When you serve God and go out to save souls, there will be two blessings. You need to have the attitude that God will pay for you. God will pay your wages for you. You will not have to serve God without pay. He will take care of you. He will meet your needs. He will pay your bills. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't worry. He pays your bills. And not only that, not only God pay your bill on earth, God gonna give you the blessing of eternal life. One day when you go to heaven, you see all these souls saved through you. Oh, it's a blessing. It's a joy. Every time I think about my mom is in heaven right now. Oh, so good. It's a joy inside here to see people saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's valuable. The work of God is precious. It will be paid off. He will pay you. And not only that, we will bring eternal joy, eternal rewards in heaven. It's very precious. I tell you, everything you do on earth for the kingdom of God will be rewarded in heaven. It will not go in vain. God will pay you back. Even one glass of water that some usher give to me during laying on of hand will be rewarded in heaven. Amen. Everything you do for God, thank you, will be rewarded in heaven. Amen. So don't be discouraged. Just stand firm and serve God together. Amen. Look at next verse, verse 36 continue to say, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Amen. So when we serve God, we should serve God with joy, with gladness. We should not complain. We should not have a bad attitude. We should not have a stinky attitude. We should be glad and joyful and happy. That's why I thank God for laughter, holy laughter, the joy of the Holy Ghost. I want to encourage all of you. God is not a God of prejudice. If God give laughter to Pastor Ann, God will give laughter to you. But it's about you want it or not. I tell you, laughter saved my life in the past 8 years. After I got touched by laughter, the joy of God, it's so hard for the devil to make me discouraged. Because every time you're going to get discouraged, I have joy coming up, bubble up. Oh, serve God is good, it's fun, it's full of joy. It's the joy of the Holy Ghost. And that joy of the Holy Ghost gives you strength. You know, the Bible said the merry heart is a medicine. If you are joyful people, you are healthy. You don't get sick easily. Is that right? Actually, the medical doctor know that. If you worry all the time, get depressed all the time, lack sleep all the time, you're going to get a lot of problems. Peptic ulcer, high blood pressure, stroke, heart attack, high cholesterol, everything. But if you're joyful all the time, you're happy all the time, like Masako, you're going to be healthier. The husband is happier too, because the wife is happy. No one in the world wants to go. My wife is going to teach about that. Spicy marriage. Spicy, is that right? Spicy something. Spicing your marriage. My wife is going to teach that. I want to hear. Hallelujah. You know, if the wife and the husband are happy all the time, full of joy. Hallelujah. You know, the house is happy. Everything is good. Is that right? That's why I want to encourage all of you, come out to be prayed for and say, God, I'm going to press in until I get the joy of God. And the joy of God will stay with you in here, bubble inside. Bubble inside. You feel good. You feel like, oh, when you laugh with the joke of human being, you will laugh from here. But when you laugh from the Holy Spirit, you laugh from the inside. How many people understand that? You have that experience? It's kind of bubble from the inside. Ha 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 ha. Ho 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 ho. He he he. Ha ha ha. Ho ho ho. You laugh from the inside. It's good. Give you strength. You serve God with gladness, with joy of the Holy Ghost. Last one, verse 37 and 38 say, thus the saying, one sows and another reaps is true. I send you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Number one is urgency. Number two, it's precious. God will pay you back. And you will get reward in heaven. Number three, you need to serve God with the joy, with gladness of God. Number four, you need to work as a team. Somebody may work harder. Somebody may sow the seed for a while and another person come in and harvest. And don't get mad at each other. Amen? Don't be jealousy. Be jealous of each other. Somebody may do something behind the scene, but another person come and get saved. And you say, oh, it's not fair. I worked so hard for this person for many years. You come in just ask that person to accept Christ. It's not fair. No, no, no. You work as a team. You all get the same reward. We work as a team in the local church. Somebody cook. Somebody prepare communion. Somebody open the home. Somebody pick up the van and drive. Somebody write an email. Somebody write a lesson. We all work as a team. But we need to have a teamwork mentality. Don't fight each other. Don't be jealous of each other. Don't look down on each other. But appreciate one another's gifting. Appreciate one another's goodness. I appreciate Victor. His goodness. He is so different from me. But we appreciate one another. Without him, I cannot do the job. Amen. I appreciate Duane. without the Wayne, this church will not come to this far. We appreciate him. Yes. Amen. Yes. We appreciate Chiren. Yes. Chiren. Yeah. We appreciate you. Yes. Without you, the church will not be this way. Yes. We need each other. We need to work as a team. And also, we need to appreciate other churches. Yes. We should not think that other churches are our enemy. They are our friends. I don't mind at all. God is my witness. If we save 100 people and all of them go to another church, I will not get mad at all. Thank God that God blessed that church with 100 members. And we still stay the same. It's okay with me. You understand what I'm talking about? We need to keep the heart right. We need to think that the other churches in the world and in the body of Christ are working together, running the race together for the same purpose. That is to bring the souls into the kingdom of God. Yes. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The revival touched, set me free. I used to think about I build my own kingdom, my church. But now I don't care anymore. It doesn't matter. We just love churches. Yes. We just love other denominations. We just want to bless them. We pray for them. We want to bless the body of Christ. Yes. Amen. We may be different, but that's okay. Because they proclaim the name of Jesus like us. Amen. Let's love other churches in the body of Christ. Amen. I love Overlake Church. I'm a friend of Overlake Church pastor. We know each other. Pastor Rick. We love all the churches as long as they proclaim the name of Jesus. They don't have to speak in tongue like us. They don't have to fall down like us. But the Bible says they... Peter went back to their own company. What it means that you need to have your own company. Where is your company? Is that right? The company that you come back together and worship God together. That is the local church. But if people don't want to join us, it's okay as long as they're safe. They can go to another church. We work as a team in the body of Christ. I believe that our church is not for everyone. You agree with me? So that not everyone is going to come here. That's the truth. Only people who want to go on with God 100%. Only people who can handle my preaching. The style. Very strong. Is that right? If people don't want to repent, it will be very hard to be around here. I tell you one thing. It will be very hard if you don't repent to be around in this church. Because the Bible talks about the fire of God will burn. And let all the dross come out to the surface. We learn that the fire of God, revival, will expose all the sins in the church. And either you repent or you fight with God and leave the church. Amen. If you can stay, you will be blessed. If you can stay in the fire, you will be changed. But if you leave, you keep that sin with you or demon with you. Because it's going to be a warfare when the fire of God starts to move in the church. Amen. Therefore, don't judge the church by the size of the church. Don't think that, you know, Phoenix, the New Hope in Christ International Church, they're smaller than us. It doesn't mean they're not good church. No. It's just the way God ordained that way, that is the amount they have, and God can add to them later on. God make it grow. Amen. They just sow the seed. They just water, but God make it grow. We don't judge each other by the size of the church. Don't have that mentality that success is about the size. If you look at the size, then Jesus is a failure. Because on the day he was on the cross, no one followed him. Everyone was gone. Jesus was a failure. He has no church. On the day he was on the cross, everyone ran away. So don't look at that. What is the meaning of success? Success means you finish what God calls you to do. Even though I have only a few hundred members here, I don't have 1,000 member church like other churches, but if I fulfill what God called me to do, I am successful. And I have to do what God called me to do. I cannot be someone else. Amen. I'm not Benny Hinn. I'm not Pastor Rodney Howard Brown. I'm not other pastor. I am who I am that God called me to do. And you are who you are God called you to do. You have to do whatever God called you to do. You cannot be somebody else. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What is your food? To do the will of the Father and to finish it. Do you live your life for the will of the Father? Or your ultimate goal is to build a house, to have bank, big bank account, to buy homes, to do this and that, to build your business. Those are the sidelines. Those are just the peripheral thing. Your main course, the main course of your life is to do the will of the Father. Can we become those kind of people? Amen. Jamie, a young lady, can you make decision now that you live your life for the will of the Father and finish it? It's not just to finish school, find a handsome Christian young man, get married, have a nice home, have baby, and just have an American dream, and then go on with life. No, 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 no. You are not created on earth here just to have a husband and marry and have nice home. You are here for a purpose.
That's right.
To live your life for the calling and the purpose of God.
Amen.
And I myself have proven it to you, myself and my wife. We have kids, we have job to do, but we still live our life for the kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we pray that, Lord, your people will make a decision tonight to live their life for the lost soul, to bring people into the kingdom of God. Father, I pray that they all will find specific will of God and purpose and plan and calling and the anointing for their own life. And they will be able to swim in that anointing rivers, in that swimming pool of anointing. And they will be fulfilled and enjoy their life on earth here to serve the Lord and fulfill the will and the purpose of God. Father, I pray that every single one who come into this house and to these churches will finish what God called them to do. They will not drop off in the middle of the race. They will not quit. Quitting is not in their dictionary. Giving up is not in their dictionary.
Amen.
They will run the race to the end.
Yes.
Lord, make your calling be clear in their heart. Going into their dream. Going into the vision. Make a calling clear to them what they are called to do, Father. I pray, Lord, that every one of them in this room will be used powerfully by God. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. This is not a regular church service. This is a camp. This is a time of swimming in the river. This is a time that we're going to jump into the altar and let the fire of God burn everything. We don't have to rush. We don't have to hurry because we are not in a regular church meeting. Hallelujah. Tonight, I'd like to call the youth group to come out. I want to pray for the youth group first. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Youth group.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.